Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of State of Our Nation. This morning, we are going to look at the issue of mandatory vaccines, as this has once again been placed on the front burner, as the debate now rages on over the demarcations of personal liberties and the maintenance of safe work environment, which is now critical to the revival of the Barbados economic prospects. Government has made it clear time and time again that the country will not be pursuing a mandatory vaccination policy. But last Friday, Prime Minister Mia Mohamud-Motley lobbed a pebble at the hornet's nest when she hinted at the possibility of employees coming out of pocket to pay for regular testing if they refuse the free vaccine. Although the Prime Minister has made it abundantly clear that the matter is to be discussed at the level of the social partnership, she is hoping to achieve some consensus there. There are some who have deemed her comments to be a dog whistle to the employers. Already, we are receiving reports of employers issuing memos to workers informing them of a binary choice between being vaccinated or the costly alternative of paying for tests every 2 weeks. The Queen Elizabeth Hospital has recently disclosed that they would be reviewing their vaccine policy with the aim of determining if the COVID-19 jab is to be included in the list of must-have inoculations for persons working there. At least two unions have already expressed some level of discomfort with the trajectory of things, arguing strongly that the workers are being pressured to take the vaccine, thereby infringing on their right to choose. Now, one perspective that we have not heard as it relates to this latest development is that of opposition leader Joseph Adderley. And hopefully in our discussions today, we can drill down on these issues with the man whose responsibility it is to provide the checks and balances for government.
You can contact your Nation Publishing subscription team 7 days a week in 7 different ways. Call customer service any day at 430-5550. Call subscriptions at 430-5503 or 04. Email subscribers@nationnews.com. Email epapersupport@nationnews.com. Visit www.nationnews.com and select print subscriptions. Visit www.nationnews.com and select e-paper subscriptions. Visit our office on Fontebelle, St. Michael. If your call is not answered, please leave a message. We are here to serve you. Nation News, your news, your time, your way.
Good morning, Bishop Adderley, and thank you for joining us on State of Our Nation.
Morning to you, Mr. Mosi. Thank you for having me. I think this subject is very important.
Now, first of all, let me give you a chance to weigh in on the preamble, which I would have outlined. Do you think it accurate?
Yeah, I think it is accurate. I did pause for a moment when you more or less suggested that government had made a public position that we would not have mandatory vaccines in Barbados. I think that could have been derived from a statement made by the Minister of Labor a couple of weeks ago and a couple of mouthings from other people in government. I think subsequently, though, we have seen a little bit of a walk back on that, both from the Minister of Labor and with reference to what you alluded to as having been said by the Prime Minister, so that the issue becomes a bit blurred and unclear in the perception of the public. Hence, I think this discussion today is very important.
Okay. Well, first of all, how do we know get that balance? Because obviously the crux of the issue is the balance between getting the economy kickstarted again and getting it done safely and the whole line of personal liberties. How do we strike that balance? It is a tough conversation, I must say.
It is a tough conversation, and I guess that's why you're called upon to govern, and govern you must. My sense is that the government finds itself under a bit of pressure from both ends of this issue. And hence, we're having a meeting of the social partnership. I think that's being convened. Whatever decision is taken there, one would then be caused to think is a decision that revolves around some measure of consensus. It comes out of a collective opinion. and therefore maybe more palatable. I see this as government attempting to pursue its responsibility, but to shy away from potential fallout, whatever the decision, and then therefore you're cloaking it in the whole issue of the social partnership architecture for your meeting tomorrow. Look, government has a responsibility to protect the rights of individuals in Barbados. We are a democracy, and part of what you're elected to do is to ensure that the rights of individuals in our democracy are preserved. Government has a responsibility also to ensure that we operate in an arena where the rights of workers are also observed and preserved. Government does additionally have a responsibility to ensure that they facilitate the kind of environment for the development business that would serve the ends of national development goals and creating higher levels of employment and improving our productivity as a nation, our capacity to earn. So it has a responsibility to its people, to its workers. It has responsibility for the health of the nation as well, generally. It has a responsibility to the business sector to ensure that the kind of environment that is created facilitates the development of business in a positive way. So that's where we are. How do you weigh all of these? Where do you come down on the issue with respect to vaccines? I believe there's a fundamental tenet that you cannot invasively interfere with the rights of individuals. The vaccine is an invasive process. You're putting things into the system of people. And if truth be told, there's no 100% certainty or guarantee around the vaccine that you will not be affected. I do not know that applies to any vaccine that is 100% certainty. But certainly, we know a lot less about the COVID-related vaccines than we do others, which historically and traditionally we have used to preserve national health and well-being. So there's some uncertainty in the minds of people, notwithstanding the efforts to enlighten and educate people on the merits of having the vaccine, the limitations of the efficacy of the vaccine. Notwithstanding all of these, people still have, for various reasons, whether it is religious, whether it is merely an opinion formed by misinformation and unenlightenment, people, for various reasons, have cause why they do not want to subject themselves to the vaccine. Their rights must be respected, of course.
Let's take a pin here, Bishop. I agree that their rights have to be observed and must be held as sacred. A person's right to choose what goes into their body must be held as a sacred tenet. But the question does remain, is it much of a choice, though? I mean, do you consider it much of a choice if it comes down to a binary option?
And that's where I was going, Colville. And workers' rights have to be respected. But you also have to recognize that employers and businesses do also have some responsibility to provide for a safe environment, a safe workspace, both for the workers and for their clients and patrons and guests. And therefore, you've got on the one side that interest that promotes that it must pursue the interests of its clientele. On the other side, that grouping of workers, which emphasize individual rights and privileges in a democracy and subject to contractual arrangements with previous contractual arrangements with the workplace. So you've got it on either side. Now, government, therefore, is caught in between to serve the national interest, but to serve these two more narrow interests, the workers and the business sector. Now, the question of a binary choice, I quite frankly, Colville, don't see that as any binary choice situation. You cannot say to workers, you get vaccinated or you subject yourself to testing every week or every 2 weeks or however often. That comes at a cost. And I do not know that workers in Barbados are in a position to bear that cost as stressed in that kind of a particular context. So I don't see it as a choice at all. I see if you say to workers, you either accept this vaccine, notwithstanding your personal views and personal rights and personal opinions, or even personal faith, notwithstanding that, you either take this vaccine, or if you want to continue to work here, because I have a responsibility to protect this environment, make sure it's safe for you and my guests. You have to be tested every so often. Then you know the cost of that test to the average worker is going to be prohibitive. You're not leaving them with a choice at all. That is not a choice. That is not a choice, any type of choice at all.
Okay. Well, I know that you're not a legal luminary, but you have been, you know, steeped in the legislative arm for a number of years and do understand certain laws and so on, how they apply, especially within the labor sector. Is this argument of a binary choice, is it grounded in any legal precedent that you are aware of?
Well, you can refer to what I was trying to suggest just now, and that is, under legislation, employers have a right, a responsibility, really, to protect the workers on the job, to provide for their protection, whatever the nature of the work. They have to ensure that the work environment is a safe place. That's why you see people are given protective gear on certain jobs, et cetera, and that there's certain regulations in place as to when one pursues a job, what can be done or what can't be done, who can be present, who can't be, that type of thing. You have a responsibility, though, to your clientele and to your patrons. People coming to your supermarket, people coming to your hotel to be your guests, you have also a responsibility to them. So there is a legal basis that gives to the employer a sufficient cause to say, we can carry this to the court and have it tested because we believe the responsibility, which is ours, fiduciary responsibility, which is ours, is to provide a safe workplace. And if you are unvaccinated, with all that is happening around us with the COVID, then we are resiling from our responsibility of providing that safe workspace. Hence, that is where we come from. You have to be vaccinated. And if you're not going to be vaccinated, then you have to be tested so we can ensure that you are not COVID positive. That is the legal basis, that the legal premise from which these people come. Mm-hmm. The other side, of course, like I've been trying to say, is that workers have a right. You have a right over what happens to your body, especially when it comes to something which is an invasive process and something about which the science is not altogether sure it is new.
That brings me to my next point. There are some who have argued that, unlike other vaccines, like, for example, if you look at the situation at the hospital where they are now discussing the prospects of adding COVID-19 to the list of must-have vaccines for staff, nurses, and so on. Unlike the other vaccines, which have, you know, gone through years of rigorous testing, the argument is that, by some at least, that COVID-19 is basically experimental to some degree. Is this a point of view that you agree with or not?
Well, it is experimental to some degree, but I think there has now been sufficient exposure to it. I don't mean to use a pun there, sufficient exposure to it that I believe that the health professionals will tell you that there is a pretty high degree of relative comfort around the use of these vaccines. It has shown that the rate of spread has slowed in some cases. It has been established, I think, that those who have been exposed to the vaccine, who've had the vaccines, less likely to be infected, and that the system, the body system, the physical system responds a bit better for persons who have been vaccinated. That notwithstanding, of course, even the science itself would admit that there have been exceptions. With respect to the efficacy around these things, we have not in any event heard of any 100%. I don't know that you ever get that. 65%, 75%, 80% efficacy. But if you recognize what is happening with the spread of this infection around the world and the high rates of incidence of death, certainly the multiple high rates of incidence of infection, I think unless you have some strong religious view that prevents you from taking it, unless you have some strong evidence emanating from professionally qualified medical scientific opinion that leaves you very, very, very much unsure that this is going to be of a benefit to you and could likely harm you, then I think in the circumstances where those things are absent, you take the vaccine. I've taken the vaccine. I have not advocated publicly that anybody should take the vaccine. I have not advocated that you should not take the vaccine. As you know, Colville, I lead a church. I have not expressed an opinion publicly in our church, among our congregation, on the issue. I believe at the end of the day, it is an individual choice, which should be as much as possible based on information. Government, particularly so the health people, have a responsibility for ensuring that that information is readily available and put forward in a format and in language that can be easily understood. Of course, we live in a day where that is going to be countered by fake news and false information, especially in the social media, and therefore you're up against that. So you have to redouble the efforts to make sure that that which is good and positive and has been established about the vaccine is made known to your people in a language which they understand, so that the level of comfort is raised. Obviously, we're seeing a very high resistance level to the vaccine in Barbados, to the vaccination in Barbados. We're 26 and 30% all told in terms of persons who have been vaccinated. That is low if you want to get up to 70%, 75%, 80% herd immunity level. So obviously there's a majority opinion in Barbados that does not believe that this vaccine should be taken. Those rights of those people must be respected. But the health of the nation, and I have always said in every discussion on anything relative to COVID, that is where I start. The first consideration for me is the health and well-being of the nation. In this particular instance, when you talk about the health and well-being of the nation, you got to consider there are people out there who believe that if they take this vaccine, it's going to harm them. That right must be respected as well. So there is a quandary for the government. Where do you come down? You can't tell businesses that they're not supposed to attempt to protect and provide a safe environment, that they can't take the thing they matter to court. You can't tell businesses that. You can't tell workers that they have to take the vaccine. So what do you do?
Give me your thoughts on where do we find the balance. Obviously, we have to, as you rightly pointed out, it's a quandary. It's a catch-22 for the government. How do we strike that balance between lives and livelihoods? That has been the catchphrase right now for a while now. How do we strike that balance?
Well, the way I see it, workers' rights must be respected. Employer responsibility has to be recognized. Those are the two contending positions. But the health of the nation is the primary consideration. If people don't want to be vaccinated, then there's always the process of testing. But the process of testing comes with a cost. I've heard the Prime Minister suggest, well, then the vaccines would have to be paid for. And what I inferred from what she said was that the workers, if you don't want to take the vaccine and you want to take the tests, it seemed to me she was suggesting that the cost burden, therefore, should fall to the workers. In fact, I should be put it in a little bit fairer language. She did ask the question, who would pay the cost? Now, are businesses prepared to pay the cost to help to protect provide for a safe workspace? Is government prepared to pay the cost to protect the health of the nation? Are workers prepared to pay the cost to preserve their individual rights of not taking the vaccine? I think herein lies perhaps a possible solution. Outside of some court-mandated position, there's a solution. If a person does not want to take the vaccine, and then it has to be paid for, I think it should be the cost should be underwritten by all three elements. Some formula should be found that government is able to input some of that cost, that businesses are able to input some of that cost, and that workers contribute some of that cost, because it also is in the interest of their health. It's going to be challenging for businesses in this environment. It's going to be challenging for government in the context of the economy. It's going to be challenging for workers, again, in the context of the economy. But it is in the interest of the worker, it is in the interest of the businesses, and it is in the interest of the health of the nation. And therefore, you can't force, in my view, a person to take a vaccination, but certainly they should be available for the testing in the interest of themselves and the businesses and its clients and the country. But where does the cost, where does the price come from? How does that arrive at? Contribution from government, contribution from businesses, contribution from the worker. And that is not necessarily equal contributions, because those three entities are not equal partners.
Right. Now, switching gears to the current spike that we're having. We are told in no uncertain terms that it's not a third wave by any stretch of the imagination. Now, government has outlined a set of directives, protocols, again, returning the curfew. They pretty much have made it clear that they are very reluctant to go back to a shutdown. It seems almost off the table. And for obvious reasons. How do you see it? Are these steps far enough, or do you think that they're doing a pretty good job of controlling the surge at this point?
Well, I am not too sure. I'm altogether persuaded that government in ruling out a possible lockdown again is being realistic. We do not know what is going to happen tomorrow, especially with the presence of the variants around us and the limited extent to which we are, in fact, tracking those variants and testing for those variants. We don't know what's going to happen next week. I always start from what is in the best interest of the health of the nation. And no one wants to see another lockdown. It is not the type of situation to which one want to come as a first or second resort. But you can't rule that out in today's terms. Virus is a small, densely populated country. These variants are wreaking havoc in other centers. It is acknowledged that they are here. We do not know the extent to which they are here. We have now opened back the economy almost entirely. We are now going to be exposing ourselves to the presence of visitors, especially since we've now gone into this that the British use.
On the green list.
We are now green listed again. Britain has relaxed just about all of its protocols, and people are doing whatever they please. And many of those people will be coming here, as is indicated by tourism officials. I don't know that you can altogether say that Barbados won't have to face a shutdown again. I think that's government trying to be optimistic and trying to send certain positive signals. But the reality is it could happen. We hope and pray that it does not. And like I said, it's not a first choice. We've got to, in terms of what we're doing beyond that, Carlo, we've got to get a handle on tracking the presence of these various Delta and Gamma among us. These are serious things. These things are wreaking havoc elsewhere. And in our context here, we've got to be very careful that we're tracking for that. It is not sufficient. Again, I've heard the Prime Minister say more than once, it's a COVID virus, it's a coronavirus. It doesn't matter what strain it is, once you sanitize and wear your mask and observe the protocols. But you and I both know that has not proven to be the experience. The question of the types of masks that people are using in the majority of cases, the lax way in which some protocols are applied or observed, even in some business places, the culture in Barbados that obtains where people want to socialize and gather in their neighborhood groups and their village groups to do various things. So if these variants are here and they are not tracked, and we're not giving people the information which specifically relates to how these particular variants are impacting us, then we are falling short. I have stressed, in my view, that we need to be careful with people coming in at our ports of entry, particularly so the airport, that we're not having a situation where people are coming with fraudulent documents, certificates for vaccination or testing, which are not valid or legitimate. I said that about 3 weeks ago. I think I said it to you. I might have. But I notice now that the Prime Minister's government is going to be cracking down on that. Clearly, it must be that they have realized that it is happening. The fines and penalties being applied are hefty. $100,000, is it? 2 years.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah.
It's hefty. And that would be one's immediate reaction. But as I said, Pavel, I always start from what is best in the interest of the health of the nation. And what price tag do you put upon preserving the health of Barbadians? So if you come in with false documents to create risk for us, then be prepared to pay the price. But we really got to get a handle on the matter of documents presented, make sure that they're valid and legitimate. I still say that when people are allowed to, and we still get a sense that this, notwithstanding the general protocols in place, we still get a sense that people are being provided with exemptions. If that is true, that is a dangerous thing, because they expose all of the rest of us.
What are you basing that on, that you believe?
Well, you heard, and I've heard one or two people who said that they've observed certain things when they come into the airport, where people may have been exempted from having to go to quarantine at a government-designated place and have been allowed to go to private quarters. If these things are true, I am not at the airport. I have no way of proving. I'm simply saying that we've got to be very stringent and robust about our efforts to ensure that the protocols we put in place are properly observed, so that there's no agent at any of our ports of entry who's going to show a favor to this person or that person, no official who's going to be able to make a call to say, look, let that buddy do this and let that buddy do that. When we do that, we expose ourselves to those risks.
Okay. Bishop Adderley, we are coming to the end of our program, so I'm going to give you the opportunity for anything else that you may wish to add at this point. Feel free. Go right ahead.
Well, more perhaps to repeat, I believe that this issue of vaccination is a very sensitive issue. There are people who perhaps may frivolously say, I'm not taking that. Nobody can force me to take that. But the fundamental truth is that with respect to how we operate in this democracy and the rights which are attributed to the individual, I can't see that you can mandate an invasive procedure. And vaccination, in my view, is an invasive procedure, putting something in a person's system, and you're not 100% sure how they will react to that. I do not know that that is something that you can make mandatory, force people to do. At the same time, there is a business interest that we have to protect, not only because of the investment that people have put in their own businesses, not only because of the fact that they are helping to provide jobs to some people. They are, in a broader sense, helping with the whole business of national development. And they do have a responsibility on the law to provide for safe workspace, to protect workers and guests. So there's interest, the interest of the workers. Then there's the role of the government to make sure overall business can operate properly, workers' rights are protected. And therefore, if the issue in this uncertain time, the best we think that science says the best we can do is to offer the vaccine, and people have a problem with taking it, then we have to go to the next thing, and that is to provide the testing. And if the testing is going to cost, it has to be paid for. Can't lay that entire burden on the worker, in my view. Cannot lay that entire burden on businesses in this environment. Not even government, perhaps, in the position to bear that entire burden. And it therefore may have to be a formula worked out whereby that cost is shared. I want to stress, in my view, we are not dealing here with equal partners. And therefore, whatever formula you work out, if you're going to put a cost to the testing, then workers are contributing, it cannot be one third of the cost, because they're not equal to government and they're not equal with the capital, the power of capital. So that cost has to be shared. Outside of that, the matter probably will go to the courts to be decided. And if the courts decide one way or another, I still think that we have other problems coming out of that.
Bishop Adderley, I really want to thank you for joining us this morning. It was really a very insightful discussion, and I think we did cover a bit of depth. Folks, we want to thank you for joining us. This is episode 9 of our State of Our Nation, and we want to wish everyone a very productive day. Whatever you put your hands to, we wish you the most success at. Thank you again, and do have a pleasant day.
Thank you, Mr. Nelson.